Welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast with me, Kathy Love. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. Join me for cutting-edge interviews with leaders in the allied health and business fields, along with plenty of practical content that you can use to make your business practice perfect. Well, I think I did very well to actually remember to hit record on this conversation, because this conversation started about 15 minutes ago. Our guests today on the podcast are Shane and Angelina Saunders, and I'm going to leave them to introduce themselves and explain what they do, because I don't want to kind of dilute it at all. Shane, how about you go first?
Okay, cool. Thanks, Kathy. We really appreciate being on here and having a chat with you. Really enjoy your company and talking with you. Mm-hmm. And let me start by saying that I'm absolutely obsessed by breathing, by what we do and how we introduce it. And how it really came about was actually you're born breathing. So we're kind of 50% the way there if anyone's thinking, okay, well, you know, like what do I know about breathing? But what we come to understand was that everybody breathes, but not many people have been taught how to breathe properly. And then further in the understanding of that is we've come to understand that people, once they understand that their breathing can either give them energy or it can cost them energy, all of a sudden it comes down to it. And so where I started my career, I started early on in my career. I joined the military when I was 16. And I had the good fortune of being able to move through the military. And then once I kind of got to the top of my field of where I was like, well, what's next? And so I'd always had an interest in peak performance. So, you know, for me, the natural stepping stone was to go to, I went into physical training. So I was attached to dive teams and to special forces teams. And I was the fitness instructor, also the method of entry, which means I did a lot of the rope rappelling and hand-to-hand combat stuff. So I was in the thick of all of that kind of training. So it was all very masculine and all very go, 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 and everyone had to be the best and all this sort of stuff. And so what came to light a lot was, though, that for me, a lot of people were focusing on the go, go, go and not really much on the relaxation, or not so much a relaxation, but the downtime. Like, how do you, like, what happens when you recover, and can you recover effectively? So that became a really, quite a strong focus for me. And then I started to notice, hey, in this whole recovery bit, is this bit about how the mind and body connect together, which was of super interest, because I started to find out that your body will keep going and doing things. Like, your body is almost unstoppable in the way that it does things, but it's your mind that will often get in the way and cause you to maybe go, oh, I can't do that, or I can't possibly push myself this much further. So
that's never happened to me.
it's a common one, and it's one that I think, Kathy, when as people evolve and as they get a lot smarter and they mature their thinking, they start to really recognize that you no longer can sort of put the whole mind-body connection part to the side. You can't like, when you get to a certain level in your business or in your practice or in mastery of your genius, in what, you know, what your gifts are that you bring to people, there's a certain point where you can't ignore that you now need to bring the mind and body into connection with each other, and then there's things beyond that. So where I came at it from was, it was all about performance. It's all about precision. It was all about discipline. You know, learning what's it like to discipline yourself. And a lot of people get a little bit put off by that word discipline. Obviously, being in the Navy and then further on into the military, into the special forces, it was spoon fed into us. You know, like, discipline is one of these things that you need to be able to master. And it does raise the hair on the back of some people's necks, including myself, because I wasn't one that took to discipline well. but in that I've learned that there's this really interesting shift where you go from discipline and dedication to devotion to actually loving something that you do. And when you can form those really amazing relationships with things that are really good for you, like some of the stuff that we're going to talk about, like a meditation practice, like a breathing practice, like being devoted to moving your body and things like that. Things shift in a way that's super surprising. And I think that it's what most people are missing to get them to a new level, not the next level, but just a new level.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Ange. I know and love what you do, but I'm mindful that people listening may not have had the one-liner about what you guys do yet. So no pressure, guys, just that magic one-liner. What is it that you do?
Look, from my perspective, and this may resonate with some, it may not, from my perspective, it's personal energy alchemy. It's quality of life. And it's being able to use your own breathing practice to be able to upregulate yourself when you need it most, and to downregulate yourself when you need it most, and to use it to get really connected with who you know yourself to be.
Yeah.
So I would say the one liner, Kathy, for me is
you've only got one. That was already three.
Okay. The one liner is the breathing is the master art. It's a foundation to all other. It's a foundation to movement. It's a foundation to meditation. So it's just the master art. Once you master that, you're going to see enhancements happen all through other parts of your life, your business, your relationships, and things like that.
Yeah. Ange, how did you get into all this good stuff?
Right. Okay. So just nearly 11 years ago, I moved to Australia. And in a past life, in the States.
In your nocturnal life.
Yes. in my 20s, nocturnal life, yes. That's so perfect. I was in the entertainment business, and I spent a lot of time in front of the camera as well as in production behind the camera. And the interesting thing was when I moved here to Australia to get out of the business, I realized I had functional anxiety. Even before, you know, performing or before auditioning or before meeting, you know, somebody who's really powerful in the industry. And when I came to Australia, I realized that, it wasn't the stage that frightened me. It was kind of like the stage of life where certain things would come up and I would have anxiety or panic, little mini panic attacks. I was functional. I could smile through them, but it was rough. And what I found was it was 2015, so about 4 years ago, Shane was introducing the breathing stuff to me. And I call it that because I was like, I'm already breathing, and every time I breathe, I fall asleep, and I'm not getting anything out of it, and blah, 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 you know, my excuses, excuses, excuses. But then when I saw how much Shane was getting out of it, I'm like, okay, let's try this. Let's dedicate. I'm going to dedicate myself for a certain amount of time and see what happens. And it was like, oh my goodness, it was like kind of like night and day. I went from feeling like I was at the effect of my life to then taking control, because I couldn't think my way out of a panic attack. And I'd been through years of therapy. I've gone through years of, 10 plus years of personal development by this time. And I thought, I couldn't really do much more than what I had. Like, I felt like I had reached a plateau of my self-development. And this kind of took me to the next level and being able to release it from the body. And when I could tie the breath to how I was feeling, I could then start catching myself going, even just like cooking a meal over the stove, finding myself going into like slight anxiety, going, oh my goodness, I have to do this, I have to do that, prepare this for tomorrow, and all the things running through my head. But then when I noticed my breathing, I noticed I was actually what we call hover breathing, where I wasn't really breathing yet, or Shane calls them budgie breaths, where you're taking
don't breathe through those little bits behind your neck.
Yeah, you're not sure if you're even breathing, but you are in some way. And what it was doing is it was sending all these signals to my brain going panic, panic, panic. So then I would start panicking about something, and then I would not know what I was panicking about. And then Shane he'd say, what have you got to be so upset about? You've got this great life. Why are you still feeling depressed and anxious? I'm like, well, good point.
All the questions you don't want to hear, right?
Yeah, just breathe through it.
And, when Shane would say, just breathe, I'd want to punch him in the face. So it was kind of, it was a little bit of pattern interrupting It was a little bit of changing some of my breathing patterns, which changed a lot of my thinking patterns, which changed a lot of my behaviors and my beliefs.
And this stuff that we're talking about, Kathy, too, like it's, you know, we talk about mastery and we're obsessed by it. And I love to master things, and this has been something that's been a joy for me to master. Mm. However, this is really about if you can feel 5 to 20% better from doing something that you're naturally already doing every day, that lifts you enough, like your head just above the clouds, to catch yourself and go, oh, wow, you know what? Like, I don't have to feel like this. I can feel differently. It doesn't mean that all your problems disappear, but it gives you the energy to go, I can take on that stuff. And then what happens, as we found, is the more that you dedicate to it, the more you can lift yourself. You can just do that 25% lift or that 50% lift. And eventually we've been hooked into it. We just feel the lift every time. Every time we get into something, you know, even if when it's something really heavy around money or around business that we're going through or in a relationship, it does give you that little bit of energy to lift you out of it to, you know, to not make shitty mistakes or say silly things. You know, it gives you enough space to not say silly things or to not say things that you regret. So it's you know, it goes from all the levels of being something that gives you these profound awakenings right down to something that just can make you feel better in the moment.
So what are some of the breathing techniques that you guys use across the day, just as a practical kind of intro?
So for me, we call it circular breathing, but it's really just keeping the breath moving in a way that is rhythmic. So for me, if I notice that I'm starting to hold my breath, I'll just take a few sighs to begin with and kind of like connect them together. So it kind of like, or, you know, even taking some time to breathe in through my nose, low and slow and long through my nose and relaxing the breath out through my nose. It just kind of like disrupts a high energy pattern to be able to relax me enough to regain control.
And so because breathing is very personal to everyone, everyone's got their own breathing mechanisms, like their own thumbprint. Mm-hmm. Everyone breathes like them. They don't breathe like someone else. The interesting thing about your breathing, though, is it's one of the only, if not the only, mechanism in your body that you can take out of automatic and put it into manual drive. Right. So, you know, you can't do that with any of your, you know, you can't make your heart, you can't think and make your heart beat faster. You can't think and digest your food, right? They all happen. But your breathing, you can just leave yourself to breathe and you'll breathe, or you can put some awareness on it. So the first step, I think, for people listening is start to just notice how you're breathing. And then move your breathing. As Angie said, use the natural things that you do in your breathing to move it, like yawning and sighing. They're the two most amazing, powerful tools that you already have.
That you're already doing.
You know, and they have a lot of stigma around them, Kathy. We've had these conversations before. You know, like
love a good yawning.
Yeah, yawning and sighing has these ridiculous stigmas, like, oh, I'm bored, or it means you're tired, or it's like that's all horseshit. None of that is true. What it is your body naturally prompting you to take in a deeper breath and to let something go, or the yawning is kind of, exactly, it's a reset. It's a full body reset that you can have. So we've been able to put the breathing into patterns. So we use like a triangle, a square, and a circular pattern. And so these three different patterns can have a profound effect on the nervous system. So say, for example, when you breathe in a triangle, you breathe in all the way to the top, you let it go, and then there's a short pause. So that forms a triangle pattern. Now that is what you would call a normal breathing pattern or a normal breath. That's a coming home breath. So whenever you feel like you're not yourself or you're a little bit overwhelmed or something like that, just think of a triangle, breathe up one side, let it go down the other side, and just have a short pause in between. And so you can do that, you know, you can do that 10 times. You can do it for a 1 minute period, and you're going to feel grounded. You're going to feel relaxed. versus say Angie said before about the circular breathing, where you're just continuously breathing with no gaps and no pauses, so just in and out. So imagine going around a circle, like Angie said, looping sides together. You're going to build energy, or you're going to release energy out of the body. So this is a way that you can use a pattern to then upregulate the nervous system or bring energy into the nervous system. And then you have the square or box breathing, and that's about controlling and balancing the breath. So if you breathe in a square, you breathe in, you pause, you breathe out, and you pause at the bottom. And so you're controlling every aspect of the breath. So if you're feeling super anxious or really lots of energy, this box breathing or square breathing helps you balance your breathing out, which then also helps you just start to contain the energy in your body. So you've got three really basic patterns that you can use. And throughout the day, what I would recommend to people is they take, you know, as little as 30 seconds to 1 minute. And all they need to do is just actually sit and just focus on their breathing. And all that means is you don't have to do anything. You can take a little bit of a deeper breath when you're breathing in, or you can push the air out a little bit more when you're breathing out. And the interesting thing about this, if the shapes sound complex or what we're talking about kind of sounds complex, think about this. When you inhale, it brings the energy of your nervous system up. When you exhale, it brings the energy of your nervous system down. So you've got two levers straight away. So like we always say, people with sleeping is often a big one that comes up when we talk to people. And we say to them, you know, with sleeping, one of the most simple techniques that you can do to get to sleep better at night and have quality sleep during the night is just start to extend the exhale out. So take twice as long as it took you to inhale to exhale, because that's down, that's bringing, calming the nervous system down and bringing you down into a state of relaxation and rest. So it's these two very simple levers that you have. Then you can also take it up to do magical things. You can do transformation with it. You know, it can get into the nooks and crannies and crevices of your mind and of your brain that language can't even get into, because we're, you know, like you're starting to look at this from, even the rhythm of the breathing is a vibrational thing. So you start to get into these areas. So it can have profound effects on transformation, or it can help you just regulate your day-to-day energy and how you show up. And, when you're having difficult conversations with people, like if you've got to call someone on the phone or you've got to have a meeting, you know, we've designed breathing sessions where when people do these sessions, they're like, wow, I feel way more at home in myself. The energy is calmed down. And so I can actually connect and be more receptive when I'm with people. You know, your listening becomes better. You're way more receptive when you're talking to people. And that just creates a greater, I guess, affinity when you're actually talking to people. People feel more at home with you and they feel grounded.
More present.
Yeah, more present. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Despite the 30 or so rabbit holes I'd love to go down right now.
I was going to say that was a lot of information in a short amount of time, Kathy.
So used to it. You have online programs, you've got a book, you've got a podcast, you run events, you do corporate work, you do work with entrepreneurs and business owners of all shapes and sizes. Let's just spend a couple of minutes applying what you've just said and why it's so important for business owners to dig into this. And I did a webinar yesterday about workflow and productivity, and you know, most of the slides were about managing your energy rather than your time. So mm-hmm. Let's kind of head down that rabbit hole. We'll probably pop our heads up into several others, but why is it so important for business owners?
Well, if you've ever woken up tired, or if you get to the afternoon, like 2 or 3 o'clock, and wonder how the hell you're going to get through the rest of the day, then there's kind of like the canary in the coal mine to go, okay, there's something here and how I'm not managing my energy very well. Because if you learn how to expertly manage your energy, you won't have any issues with wondering how you're going to complete things or how you're going to be productive about what it is that you're doing for the day.
Yeah. So also think about, I'm going to throw a few things out here. Mm-hmm. So everything, this sounds a little woo-woo, but everything is energy. Like the money that comes in and goes out is energy. You know, it's all attached to your energy. How you show up and how your clients respond to you is directly tied into your energy. And Angie mentioned before, your presence. So what we've often said to people is being fit for business or fit for a career or whatever you're doing with people, you have to have that kind of fitness about you. If you are going to be a leader in your field, and let's face it, everybody who is in business or is doing something wants some level of self-leadership. So we've often have come to the conclusion that your business will only go as far as your body will allow you to. You are actually housed in this meat sack. Like you're down here on earth having this experience and you're inside this meat sack. So, you know, what we've found is a lot of people tend to not so much ignore it, but they just don't place as much value on their physical health as maybe they could. And so when you actually place some value on your physical health, all of a sudden your vitality comes up. And when your vitality is up, then everything is up. The way you relate to people, the way that you will throw yourself into a program or a project, you know, being powered by joy is much different than being powered by a Red Bull or a coffee, right? Like they're exactly.
Responsibility and obligation.
Correct. They're very different. That's a really important word that you use there, Kathy. We just had a conversation with quite a number of people on being obligated to do something versus being called to do something. And so when your awareness opens up and your energy's up, you'll find that calling. You won't err on the side of, oh, I have to do this because of, right? I have to do this because I have to pay the bills. That's all still there. However, when your energy's up, these sorts of things, like you just know that when you're on your purpose and you're doing your thing, you're going to do it. And it also helps you problem solve, which most of us know, you know, part of what being on purpose, we believe is being on purpose and having your purpose is being able to tackle all the dark things in you, you know, being able to tackle the dark parts of your personality. You know, do you have to be a more open, receptive person to further in your career? You know, is there some part of you that you need to release, an old way of being that you need to release in order to move forward on things? And this is part of that hero's journey, part of that the self-discovery. And you need energy. You need energy to be able to handle those things. Otherwise, you're kind of going to sit in these stuck parts and kind of go, this is as good as it gets. You know, it doesn't get any better than this.
I think the thinking that happens, or some of the emotions that come up when you're low energetically, is resentment and judgment and defensiveness and all of those good things. And I'm keen to throw to Ange on the notion of leading yourself first before you would lead a team.
Yeah, well, how your energy bleeds over to the people around you, whether you are consciously aware of it or not, it's an unconscious communication between you and the people around you. And I know I first noticed this with my own children.
I knew you were going to talk about the goddesses.
They are our greatest achievement and our greatest teachers.
Well, I heard.
And your greatest challenges.
Yes. And you were in the room.
In a good way.
We heard Roger Hamilton talking about, you know, the iPhone 10, you know, it's a younger model, but it's a upgraded model. It's like our children are a younger model and they're quite often upgraded.
Upgraded so, humans here to teach us everything.
Yeah. And I first noticed it with them, because I noticed that when they were in their flow and their energy was rising, I would get angry because then they would start taking energy out on each other, you know, so they'd start pushing each other, hitting each other, that sort of thing. So when I would get angry and try to separate them, it would be like the storm just got bigger. It was like I just added more fuel to the fire. But what I noticed is if I stopped and gave myself the space and relaxed and calmed myself and then came at it from a different perspective or a different direction, either I'd let them, you know, play out what they needed to play out and live in their own consequences, or I could come to them and teach them rather than snap at them. Mm. And that was a huge thing for me. And then I started applying that with Shane.
It was more than huge, Kathy. It was magical to watch. Like I had to witness it. myself before I had to, before I took on started to, yeah. to do it as
yes,
well.
Yes, because Shane started yeah. doing started coming at things from a different perspective as well.
I was trying to apply logic
and
to
control
to the female
toddlers.
To the female energy, right? Like I'm trying to apply logic.
Yeah, no, it's in your results, right?
Yeah.
Well, and what I noticed is then I would apply that to the people that I worked with. So say, for instance, I would have outsourcers that they didn't get it right the first, you know, one, two, and three times, and I'd get frustrated. How is it that they still can't get this? And then I realized it was in my communication with them. I had a different perspective on how I was, you know, thinking that they would just kind of know how to do this. And I didn't actually understand that I had to stop and take a moment and think from their point of view and then speak to them from where they're coming from. And then I had a very different relationship with the people that I started working, that I was working with. And even with connecting with other people and other, even just the networking events and these sorts of things, instead of trying to prove myself or talk about me and my business and what I do, I realized that there was a little bit of a worthiness thing there. So when I actually started connecting to myself and increasing my own value, I didn't have to force my business on people. I didn't have to force my way of being on people. And therefore, I was a lot more connected, a lot more present with them. And then I could hear them. And when I was listening to them, I would pick up on little opportunities. And if the opportunity arose, I would talk about what I do. And it had a very different dynamic towards even creating partnerships and creating people that we work with, work alongside with. It was just very different.
Given that you've worked with business owners of all shapes and sizes all over the world, what changes have you seen on the back of breath work, energy work? You do other pieces as well, but what have you witnessed?
I would say the biggest thing that I have seen across the board have been people, yes, they say it's life-changing. Yes, they say it's a game changer. Yes, they say, thank you, you know, I wouldn't be the same without you. But if you were to pinpoint what that is, it's like, I don't have to be at the effect of my environment anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be at the effect of how I'm feeling. I can use my breath, shift the energy, and focus on how I want to feel and create that by using the breath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting one, Kathy. It's almost like because the breathing is unique to everybody, everyone gets something unique from it.
Mm.
And everyone gets an enhancement in some way. Like, I'll give you an example. One of the people that we worked with, she was just having problems. Her wind down was to have alcohol, and it was very quickly turning into alcoholism, right? Like, you know, that was the wind down. And what she found with the breathing was it wasn't like my thought was going to be, oh, the breathing is going to replace the thing you're looking for in the alcohol. But it wasn't actually that. What it did is the breathing gave her the space to recognize that she was using the alcohol too much. And it gave her the space to go, she had the energy to change her habit around the alcohol. Mm. So that was surprising to me because I was like, wow, I'd never really thought about it that way. But she said, you know, giving her the energy to be able to choose a new habit or to break the old habit and begin something new, and realize also that yes, she can be less dependent on the alcohol to be able to feel better or to be able to get a similar sort of thing. So it sort of drove this space. It opened up this space where she could choose and could also recognize that she was starting to go down a destructive pathway sort of thing. So.
It's the same thing with coffee, you know, somebody having a coffee at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon to be able to get through the rest of the day, go home, do dinner.
I'm holding my breath. Hold on. I would sleep in about 48 hours time, I think.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And then we found that, you know, they couldn't fall asleep very quickly. And then they didn't have good quality sleep because they were tossing and turning because of the adrenals that were activated before bedtime. So when we started introducing the 3-minute coffee shot that we've got, just the 3-minute breathing circular energizing, it was enough to clear any sort of like fatigue that was in the body and give somebody enough energy to complete the day and feel like that they're empowered to complete the day rather than dragging.
And what we've heard from a lot of people too, it's an all over enhancement. Like people say that because they've formulated this into a morning routine or an evening routine, you know, prior to going to sleep, and then upon waking, and they've integrated it into their meditation practices or their movement practices or whatever it is that they do in the morning. That's been the real big key, because if you read most of the books that I've read on successful people, everyone that's super successful has some kind of morning kind of routine or something that they do or some way that they take time out to move their body or do some meditation. Everyone's got something like that. So we've just successfully been able to package up the breathing session so they fit nicely inside those meditation routines, or they fit nicely inside the movement, or they're an actual, you know, a lot of people just love to use them as a standalone practice because they get so much from them. So I think it's been that overall enhancement of showing people that their bodies do cycle in rhythms. Like everything cycles in rhythms, nature's in rhythm. And what this does is this allows people to get reconnected with their nature. Like they get reconnected with nature and with their nature as well. So, you know, like, in today's world, that's for me personally, and there's a lot of science that will back this up, but the most of the problems that people feel when it comes to emotional stuff, when it comes to physical stuff, feeling drained or feeling stuck, there's a large component of it which is just being disconnected from nature, like not allowing yourself the time to go for a walk outside or go outside, get outside of the four walls and get out into the expanse. You know, that simple act is something that a lot of people would go, if you make a habit out of getting yourself reconnected with nature, you'll all of a sudden go, wow, like, I didn't realize that it had such a profound effect on my overall status as a human, like how I feel, act, how you are with other people. So I think it's something that's very simple but very profound when people do it. And I believe that the breath is a really great sort of process to get you to reconnect and get into that.
What does a great morning routine look like, in broadly speaking, because we're all going to do it differently.
Yeah.
You're going to get two different answers too.
That's good. Throw mine in as well.
I'll start. Like, I solidly believe that everybody must have a hand in creating their own morning routine. Like, I believe that. I believe that you have to have something in it that's yours, because for me, you must be devoted to that. In order for it to work properly for you, you have to love doing it. So, you know, for me, I love cold water immersion. I love the breathing and I love moving, right? Some people love journaling. Some people like reading books in the morning. Some people like doing stillness meditation. So I've come away from telling people that they have to do their morning routine the way I do my morning routine, to suggesting to people that they do add some breathing in and they add some mindfulness or meditation and some movement, but they create their own, like they create their own version of that. And then they also inject into it something that they love to do. Something creative is something that I would recommend, but just something that they love to do, because you know, there's a lot of science on this first 2 hours that when you wake up in the first 2 hours, if you can set your rhythm in that first 2 hours, it's going to carry over into your day and you'll have a successful rhythm in the day. And that, when I talk about rhythms, I'm talking about your own energetic rhythm, but I'm also talking about you being aware that you are part of nature and that you can't escape being part of nature's rhythms as well. Like, I think as humans, we think that we're the smartest monkey on the planet and that we're outside of what nature does, but we have to also honor those processes, you know, honor the, you know, the circadian rhythm. So honor, you know, when the sun comes up and goes down and these sorts of things. So yeah, that's my take, is you have to have something in that morning routine that's yours to love.
And for me, what's important in a morning routine is feeling like I have been satisfied before I start my day. Mm. So kind of like filling up my love cup. And it could look like any given morning is every single morning is different for me because I have two young children. So it's like sometimes they'll jump into bed before I even wake up. Sometimes I wake up before they do and I have a chance to have some time to myself. But one of the most important things I found for myself is like when I wake up, if I take 10 really big, expansive, slow sighs or breaths, I notice that I even feel sore from sleeping. When I say sore from sleeping, like, you know, been still in one position for all night long. So I feel, you know, a little stiff in my ribs. And so when I take that breath, I can feel my ribs starting to expand and wake up. And it's almost kind of like starting your car and letting it run a little bit before you drive off. You know, where I find that it starts to wake my body up. It starts to wake up all my systems in my body. And then I can get out of bed and then go, okay, what's the next thing I can do? So sometimes Shane will bring me a hot lemon water, which is amazing. And so I can I'll sometimes sit there and do a meditation in my bed before I get out. Or I'll go downstairs, make myself a cup of tea, and then go for a walk around the block or go down to the pool and jump in the pool with Shane and do one or two laps in the cold water, come back, and it's like better than a cup of coffee. You know, so it just kind of depends. I mean, it depends on the season. And I think that definitely it's important to take notice of the seasons. And also, well, I say females because it's more important. We notice it more than men do, but we all have our cycles. You know, so it's like having a look at where the females are in their cycle. What do you need the most? Do you need to take your time because you're in, you know, going about ready to go into bleed phase, or you are energized because you've just finished and you're ready to take on more things,
create something,
you know, being new. More creative. Yeah. So it's definitely something to take in line what Shane was saying about personal cycles, personal rhythms, and what's important to you and what do you value, and making sure that you get that in first.
Mm. Yeah. And I will add too, Kathy, that the key to a really great morning routine is a really great evening routine.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Yeah.
It makes such a difference. Yes. Lordy Lord.
Yes. Yeah. So, and you know, they're simple. They can be something simple. The one thing I would say about an evening routine, though, is the evening routine is not so much about doing something that you love, but it's really about preparing you for great sleep. Mm-hmm. Like that's the key. The key is, you know, and I think that if anybody's got something against sleep, or they've got, or they're having sleep problems or anything like that, you need to sort that out. Like that is a must. You cannot deny, you know, nature has not selected sleep out for us, right? It's a hugely important function in the way that we are and the way that we function in the health of our body. It's like the master lever as such. So I think that when people come to the realization that, hey, the evening is about preparing you. Like after the sun goes down, the evening is about preparing you for a great sleep. And I mean, let's face it, who doesn't want to sleep well?
It's one of my favorite activities.
Yeah.
As well,
who doesn't?
I excel at sleep now. Not always, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
So for me, the morning starts the night before. And just before we hit record, we were talking about the blue light. Mm-hmm. And how the filters I've been running on my tech just aren't working well enough. And I've noticed the visual fatigue in about the last 4 or 5 days.
Mm.
So I had to go out and run an errand into a really brightly lit place. And I was like a bear. I actually wore my sunglasses. So I obviously could have been mistaken for anybody. But yeah, just managing that light into my eyes. For me, my morning routine starts by seeing the sunset.
Yeah.
And I nearly always see the sunset. And for me, that's the start of the close. Mm. I have some habits around my desk and closing out my day. I have some gratitude habits right before I fall to sleep. And as you know, our house, we try and keep it pretty dark after sunset, as do you. I had dinner with your little goddesses 2 weeks ago and we ate dinner by candlelight with orange lights and the whole thing. But it kept everyone really chilled. Really chilled.
I noticed that there was a good solid year there before we started practicing, low lights and candle lights and red lights in the evening. That the girls, it's like something would switch when the sun went down and they'd go absolutely crazy. And I was like, I was this close to calling in a babysitter to putting them to bed because I couldn't handle it anymore. And then when Shane started introducing when we started doing more research on blue light and, false lights, and we changed one day, we went around and we changed all the globes to red. And we got like a whole bag of candles and a bag of lighters. And it was just like, you can have light wherever you needed to, if you needed it, but whatever you do, don't turn the lights on. Mm. And it made us such a big difference.
But you don't have to go super kooky like we do, Liz. I know there'll be a lot of people going, oh my God,
this have is embraced.
What's going on?
Well, we like to try it out to see if it really has an impact.
Yeah. Look, it starts with, if you can, just getting yourself a pair of the blue blocking glasses. They're pretty common now. Lots of people are talking about it. The reality of this stuff that we're talking about is that, the artificial light destroys your vitamin D. And most people know these days that they're vitamin D deficient. And a lot of people are scared of the sun. And there's a lot of information that we've been fed about the sun, which is completely incorrect. It's old dogma, old ideas, based on really flimsy kind of research that was done, back in the 60s and 70s. And the thing is that there's a lot of really well tested sort of trials on sunlight that shows that it improves all-cause mortality. It's one of the only things, sunlight is one of the only things that improves everything. Mm-hmm. If you get the right amount of it, it improves everything. And, so what we've come to understand is that, the sun in the morning gives you a massive dose of really good feel-good hormones, but it also allows you to sit and be mindful of something that's absolutely amazing that happens twice a day. And a lot of people will say to me, oh, but, it's cloudy in my area, whatever. It's like, it's just the light and what's actually happening at that time of day signaling to your body, hey, sunrise, getting ready for the day, getting ready to go. Yeah. Sunset, getting ready to wind down. It's almost like you're able to time your internal clock with something that's happening, and it also gives you an opportunity just to be mindful at two times of the day. And so, we've learned that by really organizing our life around these major parts of the cycle, as in we get stuff done, we get up into the morning light and we get going, but we also have our stuff done by the evening. Mm. Now, sometimes, you have to get stuff done afterwards, and we compensate for that by using the blue blockers and using screens on our, our filters on our screens that filter out the blue light and these sorts of things. But it has a massive effect on your energy. You just start to notice that once you're in time with those bigger cycles and you're honoring that and you're mindful of the light that you're putting on your body, you're like, oh, wow. Like, it really does. And we show up places and people always say to us, they're like, you guys are just different. Yeah, exactly. Like, you're just different, and it's not
quite
different.
Quite often we get, how old are you? Because we talk about how we've been doing this for 10 years and that for 20 years and this for, and they're like, wait, they don't. We look young for our age.
I'll show you that. I realized the other day that I've been doing wellness consulting and training now for like over 30 years. I was like, Angie, I would never think of giving myself that title, that I've been in this space for that long and doing this stuff. But yeah, it's just it's something that, what I'm obsessed by. I know Angie is the same, otherwise we wouldn't be in the space.
Yeah. We've only got a few minutes left, which is super, super annoying, but because I want to know how to get rid of my cold, but I'll have to phone you later. How do people find out more about what you do and get engaged with your programs and stuff, breathing stuff?
Yes. Well, we're just about ready to release in the next couple of weeks a kit, like a getting started kit. that will have a complete morning kit, evening kit, and a performance kit. So I would say just keep an eye on breatheme.com. You can try our
check in the show notes, I'm sure. Kathy's going to put something in the show notes.
Yeah, they'll be in there. And by the time people are listening, that that product will be available.
Yeah, and that's really kind of like the best place to get started.
And on LinkedIn.
Take your breathing for a drive and see what happens.
Yes, and on LinkedIn, on social media, you can find us. You just type in our names and we'll definitely come up, or type in something about breathing and we'll definitely come up with the breathing people.
Absolutely wonderful, wonderful. Parting words of wisdom for somewhat fatigued business owners. The three of us all breathed in.
I don't know if I can do. I'll do a quick one for fatigue. So especially when it comes to sleep, you sometimes have to wrangle that energy to let it go to be able to sleep. It's a very strong energy fatigue. So for me, what I would use is just use the breath to play with it and see what happens. Use the breath to bring up the energy in the body, and then use the breath to relax it and see what happens. If you just play with those two levers, you'll notice something.
I would say, Kathy, that as with most things that we've found out, it's not in the words, it's in the practice. And so, you know, I think that, and Angie said this before, when people get overwhelmed or they get anxious or they get depressed, what often happens is they try and think their way out of it, or they try and analyze the thoughts that go around in the head. We would recommend that you breathe into it, that you sit for 3 to 5 minutes and use one of those shapes. Use either a triangular shape, a circular shape, or a square shape. See which one resonates with you and shift the energy, because then that will shift your thinking. And you know, most often it'll pop you out of that space enough to sort of deal with whatever's going on in your head.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I'll see you soon.
Thanks, Kathy.
See you guys. Bye. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. For show notes and other resources, please visit practicemadeperfectpodcast.com. While you are there, you can subscribe for future episodes and continue your business adventure with me. And please be sure to share this and other episodes with your friends and colleagues.